Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Rubberneckin' Podcast. I'm Alicia, and today I am flying solo on the podcast because my partner in crime, Kevin, has gone over to London to help Angie with the new install of the O2 London exhibit that's going to be opening very soon. Can't wait to hear all the updates coming from London very soon. We'll get back to you on that. But first, let's talk about birthday. We announced an exciting guest this week. Peter Goralnik will be here. He's actually going to be a special guest on Conversations with on Elvis at 1 p.m. on Thursday, January 8th. It's also the same day that we cut the birthday cake. So you are not going to want to miss January 8th. It's coming up in just a few weeks. But before we get to birthday, today, December 3rd, is actually a special anniversary because 46 years ago today, NBC aired the 68 comeback special. And we all know how special it truly was. So today on the podcast, we're going to listen to an interview from the music producer of the 68 special. His name is Bones Howe, and he talks about working on the 68 special, working with Elvis, and just kind of talks about his relationships and how Elvis was as a musician and how they turned this TV special into an historic event. So let's take a listen.
I think he had the best feel of it. You know, he knew what was right for him and what wasn't right for him. I think that's why he kept having hit record after hit record, because he understood right away when he heard a song whether it was something he could do or not. And he had a good understanding of what sort of song he could deliver. Because not all the songs were rhythm tunes. He did some ballads. And a lot of times the ballads that he did were less pop and more, he could sing gospel songs. He could sing, you know, other kinds of music. So he had a great taste and understood what his audience wanted to hear from him, and it was very much what he liked as music. Elvis was there every day for rehearsal. He went to all the dance rehearsals. He showed up for the rap party after we finished shooting. He was really part of the crew. He really, you know, acted like part of the crew. I liked him very much. One of Elvis's great traits was he had a wonderful sense of humor, and particularly about himself. You know, one of the things that happened when we were doing the special was it started to be, in the beginning, it was the Colonel had done a radio special with Elvis the year before where he did 24 Christmas songs. And they went to NBC and sold NBC on the idea of Elvis doing a Christmas special, TV special. And Bob Finkel, who was the executive producer that worked at NBC, came to Steve Binder and I and asked us if we were interested in producing it. And we said yes. The opportunity to work with Elvis was great, but we never thought that it should be a Christmas special. We thought it should be a variety special because Elvis had never been seen just performing. He'd been seen in films, in a motion picture situation where it had been controlled by a script, but he'd never been in a situation where he was able to kind of create the surroundings and work in the same way that he had when he made his records. And so it was really Steve's feeling that Elvis had never been, that we ought to be making a special, a music special with Elvis and not just a Christmas special. Okay, we'll do a couple of Christmas songs if they want to. But he shouldn't do 24 Christmas songs and say, Merry Christmas to everybody, and we would never hear him speak or see him in any way, because so many of the performances, Ed Sullivan and so on, had been cut off at the waist, and he'd never really said much on camera, and people didn't really know him or have any sense that he'd never been interviewed on camera. So we just thought, well, it would be a great opportunity to do this, and television was the right medium to do it in. And we managed to, Steve and I talked about it, and I said, look, Elvis produced his own records in the 50s. If we can get him excited about this idea, then he'll get involved in the production. He'll help the guys write the script. He'll come up with ideas for a number. He'll help us choose songs. You know, this thing will just grow by leaps and bounds if we can get him involved. If we can't get him involved, then forget it. We'll just do a Christmas special and that'll be it. And we were able to get Elvis to sign on to the idea, and then he convinced the Colonel it was the right thing to do. And that's how it all began. And the idea of doing all those guys in the round together talking about the old days and all that was Steve's idea. He said, well, if we can just get them all together and get them to talk about the old days, because something had happened like that when we were working on the script. You know, he would get together with the guys and they would sit down with their guitars and they'd start playing and talking about, oh, remember this song, and we used to do this, and we used to do that. So we thought that would be wonderful if we could get that on camera. And that was kind of the beginning of how all that. And then we had the production numbers, which were staged with dancers and the rest of it. And we had the concert sequence, which was always planned to be the big finale of the special. The Colonel being the ultimate promoter of all time, had decided that what we were going to do is we were going to have two shows. And he had tickets made up and was controlling the tickets as though it was a concert, you know. And we had arranged to tape the concert in the round in the black leather suit twice. That way we would get two takes of every song. Steve would get some camera angles and whatever. Elvis was extremely nervous before he went out on stage. He sat in the makeup chair and he talked about how he didn't know whether people would laugh at him. He didn't know, there had been the Beatles, there had been the Rolling Stones. He wasn't really sure what they'd think of him or if they'd laugh at him or whatever. There's a wonderful shot at the very beginning of the special, at the very beginning of that sequence in the special, where he comes out on stage and he reaches for the hand mic, and if you look carefully, you'll see his hand is shaking. And he started singing, and I think he was like 8 bars or 16 bars into the first song, and he was back in his element, because he still is one of the great performers of all time. He's, you know, lots of people have come and gone. There's been lasers on stage. There's been all kinds of other kinds of shows. But this guy could really stop a crowd. And you can see it in this sequence. And Steve Binder, who is one of the most brilliant directors, live television directors, to walk into a booth, captured that so beautifully. There's every bit of that sequence is shot live. He was calling cameras in the booth while it was going on. There was no stopping. It just rolled. And the Colonel decided someplace in the middle of that, there was another audience standing outside in the parking lot waiting to get in for the second show. And the Colonel just decided somewhere into the middle of that, he was just going to open the doors and let everybody in. So what happened was we filled up the rest of the soundstage all the way back to the walls. And Elvis, when we got to the last song, we just went right back to the top and started the show over again. So in effect, we did it twice, but we did it continuously. And Elvis, when he came off the stage, was soaking wet in the leather suit, and they literally had to cut it off of him because he couldn't take it off. It was stuck to him. The two songs that were recorded for the special were Memories and If I Can Dream. The rest of the material was adapted from things that Elvis had done before, but the two original songs were Memories and If I Can Dream. Two very different kind of songs than Elvis had been known for recording prior to that. As I said, If I Can Dream was very much a song with political connotation from the era that it was in, which was in the 60s, the late 60s. Memories is interesting in that it was a prophetic ballad. And of course, it's been used as such many, many times since. But at the time we did it, it was meant to tie in with the idea of the guys and singing and talking in the round, you know, all of that interview segment, what we call the interview segment, where he and the guys were just sort of kicking ideas around, and it was sort of meant to tie in with all of that. But in a way, it became very prophetic.
Well, thanks for listening to this edition of the Rubberneckin' Podcast. We will see you next week.